down here for the anniversary of Katrina, but more importantly for the anniversary of Common Ground Relief and their effort to rebuild what Katrina and FEMA destroyed. So tonight we're going to be interviewing folk who have done a cartoon book called After the Flood. They've come out of a little collective that was called, what is it, World War III?
World War III Illustrated.
And when was World War III Illustrated started?
That would have been 79-80 over that winter, around the time Ronald Reagan was running for office. Yeah, we started it then as a response to the political climate in the 1980s, the climate of, you know, reactionary politics of fighting a war against an evil empire all over the world that was promoted by Reagan and supply side economics and the whole mess. And that we also got involved in urban issues, particularly housing issues in New York City. And I guess that's, and we got involved with the squatters movement in New York City. And in a way, maybe that's our connection to some extent to the type of reconstruction work going on here in New Orleans, because in the neighborhood I lived in the early 80s, a lot of it was demolished, a lot of it was abandoned because of landlord arson, and people were moving into abandoned buildings and fixing them up and struggling with the city to be allowed to live there. And so in a lot of ways, there are a lot of familiar aspects to us to what's going on here, so that's part of why we decided.
Well, that's a big jump from the Cold War to New York City to New Orleans because of Katrina. Whose idea was it? Who came up with the idea for the comic book After the Flood?
Actually, it was suggested by Don Paul, who's sort of a cultural organizer for Common Ground, that we do a comic book as a benefit. And that was because he saw work that we had already done that was going to go into World War III Illustrated. Chris Cardinale had done a comic strip. I'd done a comic strip. Mac was working on a comic strip. And we saw this stuff, and, he saw this stuff, and he said, hey, why don't you guys make us a comic book that we'll use to fundraise? And I said, sure.
Are you living down here now?
No. I was here in January for a couple weeks, and I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I live there with my family. I have almost a two-year-old baby. So for me to be able to come down here, this is the second time I've been down here for about a two-week period, and each time I've produced a mural, but for me to get away for that amount of time is quite a luxury, actually.
Yeah, I know that. I just called home and my two children were screaming, and my wife said that she wishes she was anywhere right now, even with the when the levee broke. But let me see, I'm sorry, what is your name again?
My name is Mac McGill.
Okay, Matt, and have you been Mac, have you been with these working with these folk for a while?
You mean World War III? Yeah, for quite a while now. I've been working with World War III. I met Seth, I don't know, in the early 90s, a long time ago, and submitted a story to World War III. And ever since then, I've been working on it pretty consistently, you know, with all the issues. Skipped a couple over the years, and just put a story together for the next issue coming out. Okay. We have an issue coming out, probably when we get back to New York. It'll be coming out soon, right?
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to that being published.
How are you distributing the after the flood?
That's sort of, I kind of left that to Don Paul. I assume he's mostly selling it at events like this and selling it to Common Ground volunteers. I mean, when we did it, he said, well, we have enough people coming through here. We can just sell it directly. I don't know that he's gotten any type of national distribution for it, I think it would be a good idea to do that. But yeah, and maybe we should look into that.
Now, you folks don't make a living off of this, do you?
I work as a art teacher at a college in New York City, School of Visual Arts, and I also have a couple of books out for which I get royalties. They include War in the Neighborhood, You Don't Have to Fuck People Over to Survive, and Portraits of Israelis and Palestinians. And I do illustration work. Like, really what's paid for me coming down here is I did an album cover for an Israeli rock band called Kataman. It's a new band, but I did their album cover and they paid me for it, and that's what paid for me coming here. You know, so I live as an illustrator and also as a teacher.
So did you make that finger harp box?
No, I didn't. I got it from some guy in Oregon. I bought it on the internet.
I have never seen it.
Well, it's an African, African version of an African thumb piano called a kalimba.
Sure.
You know, which most people know through Earth, Wind, and Fire records from back in the day. And it's just, you know, some guy in Oregon who makes them and electrifies them. And I brought it down here because the public housing piece we're doing with Seth is fairly new, and originally the idea was for me to play just very sparse notes on it because we hadn't really developed music yet for it yet because it's so new. And I brought this down, the kalimba down, because I'm like, well, it's an instrument I can play on the plane, it's portable, but it might work with this piece. And then, you know, this afternoon we rehearsed and I said, I got an idea, and I played it and said, yeah, that sounds good. So, you know, we did it. Yeah, just what you were saying before about how do you go from the Cold War to urban issues to New Orleans, I'd say, you know, it's all the same thing. It's all about justice and peace, you know. People want to live their lives comfortably. They want to make a decent living without getting killed or exploited for it. And, you know, they don't want to be, you know, under the yoke of, you know, the world being ripped by men who trade in human blood. So, you know, it's all the same thing. You know,
It is all the same thing, but, I mean, when we came down here the first time, I just couldn't even believe it. It looked like the moon. When I was in Waveland, Mississippi, they had given a fire truck to New York City, and then the New York City gave it back to them after the flood hit here. So it is unprecedented, and also it was really pressed upon anarchists that if you're going to, you know, act on your beliefs, then this is where to do it. But anyways, back to the juice harp. I couldn't even believe. I was like looking the other way, and all of a sudden I hear, you know, electric version of the finger harp, and I just couldn't even believe it was like something out of the 60s. It shows you that you could electrify anything. I think on this one song from the 60s, they even had a jug and they put some electronic thing in the bottom. See? There we go, huh?
Out of Austin, Texas, yep. Legendary band.
Yep.
Rocky Erickson, their lead singer, who's sort of, you know, one of, you know, great singer and songwriter and sort of one of the legendary, you know, casualties of the drug war. He got, you know, busted for a joint in the late 60s and wound up doing 3 years in prison for the criminally insane in Texas. He just started performing again last year, so I saw him last year. But yeah, that was a band that had an electric jug. I've sort of, you know, gotten into, you know, collecting and learning how to play odd instruments. Not all of them electric. A saz, which is a Turkish instrument that I've used on one piece.
You think getting busted for a joint is bad? Gary Blythe sold me chicken bouillon and told me it was hash, but we still got high. So, what do you think about the whole thing of comics as a medium? Because I mean, I just love it because a lot of people think, well, nobody reads anymore, so we have to reduce everything to a comic. But I don't view it that way. I think that it's a medium that sticks with people.
I agree. I like doing illustrated stories. I enjoy it, the whole medium, plus the multimedia aspect of it, the slideshows, along with music and reading to the audience and having all these effects. I grew up with comics. I grew up reading superheroes and Marvel and DCs and stuff like that. But the more I learned about the real world, the more fascinating it was to me. That's one reason why I like drawing, you know, doing work with World War III. I think the reality is it's a lot weirder than fantasy sometimes, you know, so I enjoy it.
It seems like that's sort of a little bit of Abby Hoffman, in the sense that humor is a way of entering people's heart, and this type of illustration is, I think, more hard-hitting than, you know, political speeches. And it's really funny. You'll go to a really good march, and then you march miles, and then at the very end of it are these pasty white people talking for hours. it's like you've been fooled or something like that. You know, it's like a descent into hell. But and so just to have something that's why when 1999 rolled around with the Seattle, and their, you know, the cops took their banners from them, and they had to start writing on their shirts, and nobody planned on doing civil disobedience. Everyone was writing on their arms and stuff like that. I mean, it's just the fruition of this non-linear type of thing of walking around in a circle trying to figure out what rhymes with 1, 2, 3, 4. So how many issues of
World War III
have come out?
We're on, I believe, 37. So
since the Cold War.
We're not a monthly. You know, we come out about every 9 months.
No, but that's still good. That's what I'm saying. Because usually people come up with a good idea and then they'll come out with 4 or 5 issues.
Well, you know, to us, you know, we really, as artists, we really needed the platform. You know, we were doing a type of work that we knew was valuable, but we didn't have a lot of people in the publishing industry when we started thinking it was valuable. I mean, when we started in 79, there were like 3 adult comics published in the United States, maybe 4. There was Picture Story magazine published by a guy named Ben Catcher, who later became known for Julius Knipple, real estate photographer, his comic strip. There was Raw, published by Art Spiegelman. There was American Splendor, published by Harvey P. Carr. And there was us. We were number 4. That was all the adult comics being published in America in 1979. Now there's an enormous number of them, all different kinds, all different people, you know, things imported from other countries, things published here. You know, it's an area that opened up. But when we started, there weren't a lot of places you could do this. You know, at this point, like, there are lots of places that would publish my work other than me, and I don't really have to, but I keep, you know, we keep the magazine going as a place for new artists to show their stuff, as a place where I know that nobody can stop me from saying what I got to say in World War III. And I don't know that about my other publishing arrangements, you know. So it gives us that amount of control and that amount of access. And I think World War III has become a symbol to some people, even if it's only a few thousand people, of a certain attitude towards society and towards the world, and I wouldn't want to see that stop coming out, you know, and that idea not seem to have been defeated or disappeared. So it's important to me to keep it going.
Well, when we first came down here, right after the flood happened, Blast Furnace Radio, we were just overwhelmed by how horrendous the situation was. And we're in Waveland, Mississippi, and 2,000 people were waiting in line for a meal. And, you know, it was a real mixture of folk. And the air was real toxic, and the military was there. And this one guy, like out of a Cheech and Chong movie, goes, "And now for your entertainment." I'm like, what the? You know, everyone's lives have been blown to hell and back. And he goes, points to this tent, and out of the tent comes the most beautiful woman in the world and belly dance for 3 hours. And so all these men walk up to her after, and they go, you know, "Give me your email address, man. I want to be your backdoor man." She goes, "You can't talk to me like that." And he said, "Why not?" "Because I'm 15. And so all these little hippie high schools and all these hippie colleges literally released all of their students. And if you keep a journal, you get credit for the semester. And so I just met a lot of people who were doctors and lawyers and massage therapists and students and stuff like that who dropped everything they were doing and came here. And it's been a real inspiration to us back home. This is my fourth time back here. And right now I'm working on trying to get clean water to the lower Ninth Ward, specifically to the distribution centers that Common Ground Relief has. And they need 90,000 bottles of water just to feed their volunteers and in their distribution center. So anyways, do you have an online version of your comic?
I World War III does have a site, right?
I think it's www3illustrated.com.
Boy, I could remember that. What?
www3illustrated.com.
And what's on there? How many issues?
The issues aren't on there, just information about the magazine. The magazine you can get in bookstores and record stores all over the country.
Okay.
Definitely in Tower Records, you know. I mean, you got to look for it, you got to ask for it, but it's out there.
Do you have an 800 number like Go-Go Comics or something? Or
no.
Get one, it's real. The real cheap Quest.
Yeah.
If you never use it, then it's just a few minutes a month. Well, listen, again, we're all, the night is dark and we're a long way from home, but you know, we're nowhere near Pittsburgh or our families and stuff, but I wanted to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City to the Crescent City?